Thanks, Steve. Hi, guys. Bill Left, Wendy Snyder. It's Wednesday, the middle of your week. Thank you for listening. How was your birthday? Was your birthday fun yesterday?
It was fun. I now can move on. I'm a year older. I mean, you know, enough's
right.
enough.
Right.
Saturated with love yesterday. It was very nice, but sometimes it's like...
Many of your coworkers coming in to wish you a happy birthday, and I have a list of those who did not.
You.
Oh, I was already here. I didn't have to do anything.
Yeah, we were going to go out to dinner last night, but it was too cold and I got pretty comfy on my couch.
Mm-hmm.
So we ordered Chinese food. I had my key lime pie and got presents. Yeah. And I'm telling you, it was a great night.
That is a sign right there. You must be over 55.
I know. I know.
Did you watch Matlock?
Yes, I did.
Let's not go out.
What about it? And Murder, She Wrote.
Oh, that's a full evening. Chinese food and key lime pie, that's my
your
dream
night.
Birthday.
I know.
Did you also play miniature golf? Because that would be a perfect birthday.
Had they been open, I would have liked to do it.
So semi-romantic. It was just you and your husband.
No, the kids were...
Oh, they were
we waited
too?
Till they got home because then, you know, mom kicks in and goes, what are they going to eat?
Yeah,
we can't go out to dinner without them.
Right.
So everybody had a nice dinner. I got my new UGG slippers that the dog tried to chew almost immediately.
Sure. You got to break them in.
Not that way. But all in all, just a great birthday, and now I can move on.
Don't you think birthdays were better before Facebook? Because then people who really, really cared about you knew it was your birthday. Now everybody is alerted to the fact that it's your birthday, and you can't tell who really cares about you and who doesn't.
That is such a point.
I think everyone cares about me. I think everyone, all the hundreds of people who gave me Facebook messages cared about me.
Yeah, they knew it was your birthday.
Although I will say, I've never been big into that, Bill, but it really felt, I enjoyed it like a couple weeks ago on my birthday to see you, hear from old people.
That's just it.
That part is very, very nice. But it used to be that the people who really, really cared about you, they knew it was your birthday. You know what I mean? But it is. I agree with you.
You have some baggage. Can I just tell you that?
I also
just take it and move along.
I had a friend scolded me a couple weeks ago because I didn't wish him a happy birthday.
Oh.
And I'm like, I don't ever wish me one. I don't care.
Who do you, other than your wife, or in your case, Wendy, your husband, whose birthday do you remember? Your kids, probably, and maybe your parents.
Yours, some years.
Mine every now and then.
Yeah.
You remember like birthdays that are around your birthday.
Oh, maybe.
Well,
is
your
yours
birthday?
Today, Mary?
No.
Catherine Lake is.
Catherine Lake's birthday. Yeah. You know, I've been doing lately, I've been wishing people birthday on Facebook, and it's not their birthday.
Oh.
They have the wrong birthdays posted on the Facebook. It's really embarrassing.
Well, Diana Ross started that at the Grammys when she said, this what a way to spend my birthday, and it wasn't her birthday. Her birthday's not till March. So that started
the whole.
Yeah. It's funny you guys are bringing this up because I never look, but because I did enjoy getting birthday messages a couple weeks ago, I actually looked today at about who my friends are having birthdays today on Facebook, and I'm pretty sure one of them has passed away.
Oh, that's sad.
Yeah, that comes up too a lot. Yeah, that's...
So what do you do with that information? Don't send them a happy birthday announcement, please.
Well, there's only one way to find out.
Right.
No, can I tell you what people do now?
What's
you
that?
You post happy heavenly birthday. That's what people...
Seriously?
Oh, come on.
I don't do it, but that's what people do.
Do you have to get them a heavenly gift? Or just the wishes is enough, probably?
I don't know how you can get them a gift in heaven. I don't think
gift
Amazon
card.
Delivers there.
And you don't get older once you're up there, right?
I don't know how that works.
So you really
not sure. No one knows.
A birthday anymore.
Nobody knows.
Yeah. I would hope not.
You should revert back to whatever your favorite age is. That would be the perfect way to handle it. Whatever age you were most comfortable.
35.
That's a good idea.
Would you be 35?
Yes.
That's a long time ago.
I don't remember.
Shut
35.
It.
Oh, no. I was having a baby at 35. No.
I just got married at 35, about ready to have a baby.
Oh.
I might have done things differently.
Yeah. Maybe.
Knowing what I know now.
In my wife's family, there are 6 kids, so each one of them calls the others to remind them if it's one of their siblings' birthdays. And I always say, but then, again, you don't really know who keeps it in their head or not, because you're constantly...
You know your siblings' birthdays.
I think once you get to that number, there's 6, so maybe...
It's a family.
Well, yeah.
You but only had one birthday to remember, your brothers, and you still don't remember
May 10th.
Is that accurate?
Yeah.
What year?
Every year.
You are so funny and so quick, Bill. I am very, very proud of you.
Cut it out. Well, I'm glad it went well.
Yeah, it was a great birthday.
I know you were deciding all day long, where are we going to go? You were conflicted because the boys both had to work. They both, or had events.
They had things.
They suggested that they take the day off to spend it with you. You said, I'll have none of that. Go do your stuff. Well, I'll have Chinese food and key lime pie later.
I got hugs and kisses and presents. That's really all I wanted.
That's what you want on your birthday.
In that order.
That's perfect. Well, yeah. Equal amounts?
Yeah.
Yeah. All right.
No, more hugs than kisses and more than presents.
I, by the way, followed through. I told you I was going to do this yesterday. Valentine's Day is, of course, tomorrow.
Yep.
But my wife is leaving town. She's going to Boston early on Friday. And I thought if I get her flowers Thursday night, she's only going to enjoy them through Thursday. And then she's gone Friday. So I picked up all the Valentine's Day stuff yesterday. It went over. It worked.
You're good.
Everybody's happy. Yeah.
You're good. You know what you could have done? You could have sent it to where she's staying. She's not going to be...
She's in Boston. They have...
Valentine's Day would have been over with then.
Oh, yeah, right. Yeah, yeah.
But that would have been something if where she arrived, there was a bouquet.
If she was gone on Valentine's Day, I would have played it that way. Better than usual. Better than usual.
Just to your family.
And I was smart enough to let the florist pick out... The entire bouquet, because I'm not good at it. And all the things that I would have picked, because I said as she was putting together, I go, a couple of these would be nice. And she went, I don't think so.
Carnations.
Punks. Remember those?
Remember pussy willows?
Yeah. Yep.
Those are actually
they're not
pretty.
Extinct. What do you mean, remember them?
They still make them.
Right.
Yeah.
I put them in my planter in the spring with forsythia, because I like the combination of those two.
Oh.
But I use fake ones.
Oh. No, I went all real.
Good for you.
Yeah. Big hit at the house. They're still talking about it.
Excellent. Well, good job
all
for
right.
you.
We must take a break, and then there's a lot more show. Please stick around. It's Bill and it's Wendy on WGN. It's Bill Leff and it's Wendy Snyder. Wendy, this text has come in, and at first I wanted to laugh at it, but then it made me realize it's thought-provoking.
All right.
708 says, not everybody in 708, just one particular person says, wouldn't your heavenly birthday be the day that you died?
Mm-hmm.
I think it would be, right? Would you still celebrate?
I don't know if you can party
such
in heaven.
A thing, oh,
you're going to hell, so I know they party big time down there.
We're gonna have a good time.
Hot, hot, hot.
Right. That's the song that plays over and over and over.
Just a yes on an endless loop.
Yeah. Is that Buster Poindexter? Is that
yes.
who sings that? Yeah, that plays constantly.
Oh, my God.
You wouldn't like that? I would love that.
If that doesn't inspire you to stay on the path of the
right.
straight and narrow, I don't know what will.
I'm looking forward to that. So if everything goes according to plan, once you get to heaven, should they celebrate birthdays? Would it be the day you were born or the day you died? Very philosophical.
That truly is.
I know.
Because
it'd be weird to give gifts, should there be, let's say there's gifts in heaven, and why wouldn't there be gifts, right? So would you give a gift to a person because it was the day they died? That would seem wrong.
I don't think gifts are necessary in heaven, because I think it'll be like that Star Trek thing where you can just want something and it appears.
Oh,
what's that called?
The replicator?
Yes.
Yeah.
I think that's what's going on in heaven.
Oh, everyone has a replicator.
So say you want, I don't know, some...
Deep fried shrimp?
Yeah.
Yes. Then I think
and
you
Steve's,
can just...
Steve's guess, by the way, is right. That would be what I would eat in heaven.
But Facebook makes it easy to remember someone's birthday because the it pops up like so and so is celebrating a birthday today.
Right.
So what's wrong with?
Hmm?
I mean, I scrolled through to see who memories of a lot of people I went to school with. I thought that was really cool of them.
Yeah.
So it's fun to scroll through that and see.
It is.
I clicked like on every one of them.
Did you?
And there were a lot.
Oh.
I took the time and
but
the energy.
See, then that means nothing.
It waters it down.
How?
Mm.
I wanted them to know I saw it.
Okay.
Yeah. But if you like all of them.
Right. Did you love any of them?
I did. There were some that I loved. People I hadn't talked to in a while. I did a couple ha-has on some.
Oh, you did?
Yeah.
You just liked mine. You didn't love it?
Well, yours was nothing special.
There's no
wow.
Yours just said happy birthday.
Well, what the hell do you want me to say?
That says it all.
Steve went out of my way to do that.
I know, and I appreciated it. I thought, oh, that's so nice of Bertrand.
But if, Steve, if you don't reciprocate, like you just said, you had so many messages on your birthday. Don't you kind of feel like you owe it to all the people who happy birthdayed you to happy birthday them back?
Yeah.
No.
You don't?
I don't know.
Some are just fans.
Most of them, yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, for family members and friends, I'd say there are probably 30 out of the 5,000.
Is that true?
I know there are a lot of people I went to high school with, and I like that. I like to creep on Facebook and to see their families and see they're doing well.
I've had a couple of instances where I have met somebody, and they go, I'm Tom. We're Facebook friends. And,
yeah, I've had that too. Which Tom?
Right. Right. Then it gets dangerous. All right. I wanted to bring this up. I know we don't have a lot of time to discuss this, but it needs to be discussed. Every day, it seems, there has been some sort of a scandal involving either a picture or words of somebody who may or may not be doing or saying something that is racist. This one comes very close to home. I'm sure you may have seen this.
Is this the banana?
Yes.
What in God's name? And it's a bachelor party.
That's the part I can't figure out. Now, for people who aren't up on this story, it's a first ward alderman candidate. His name is Daniel LaSpada. He was all over the news yesterday because years ago he took a picture. Now, this took place in 2013, September of 2013. He took a picture with the guys in his bachelor party where he is dressed as a giant banana. The guys in his bachelor party all have monkey masks on. They're in the city, and they have taken a picture with African-American guys,
kids.
A bunch of kids, right? And, of course, people are outraged, saying this is a horribly racist photo. His defense is he didn't think it was at the time, but he has since rethought it, and he realizes that it could easily be construed as a racist photograph. Many people are seeing it exactly that way. But your question is the same exact question I had. At what part in a bachelor party does a guy say, hey, it's my bachelor party, I get to call the rules, I'll put on a banana costume, you guys wear these monkey masks, and chase me around the park?
Now,
does that happen
that
ever?
That might not have been his decision. That might have been the best man's decision.
Then you got to fire that guy yesterday. Because what kind of bachelor party is that?
Well, first of all, it's just stupid.
It's ridiculous.
But may I ask a question? I need to pose this.
I have friends who are bananas, and they wouldn't do that at their bachelor party.
That is really stupid because, like, a lot of times, like, for my bachelorette party, they made, they got a veil that I had to wear to show. A lot of times they have, like, stupid erotic necklaces or something that the bride-to-be has to wear.
Right.
I collect those because the brides-to-be, what are they going to do with them after the party?
You are so weird. What, do you sell them on eBay then?
Well, it's like the bridesmaids' dresses. You can reuse them.
Oh, okay, I got it.
When I was doing stand-up, a lot of times you would have a bachelor party all show up at the comedy club, and some of the party favors were so ungodly obscene that I
can't... Pacifiers shaped like things.
Yeah.
So stupid.
Right. You know the classic fake nose and glasses that make you look like either Groucho Marx or Gene Shalit? There's a bachelorette party version of those.
How do you perform at a comedy club when there's a bachelor?
It's impossible. The whole show is ruined.
Remember, you know Craig Gass, he was on our show.
Very funny.
He does so many impressions, super funny.
Yeah.
I went to see him at Dirty Nelly's, I believe, and he jokingly said, you know, oh, there's a bachelor party up in the balcony. He wasn't joking.
Yeah.
And they weren't even paying attention.
Right.
They were louder than he was.
Always.
Why does that work?
They shouldn't let him in.
No.
It's crazy. All right, so I have to ask you, I'm under the belief you probably saw Daniel LaSpada speak or heard him speak about this. I kind of believe him that at the time when he took the picture, and I'm allowing for the fact that they did this idiotic thing where he was dressed like a banana and his friends put monkey masks on. I get that. So what do you do now? He has got out of his way to apologize and say, at the time, I did not think this was a racist photograph. We were just having a bachelor party. These kids came by. We took a picture with them. But what do you do now?
What if those kids didn't come by and there was a picture of that?
That's a good question.
I'm just asking.
Because then it just falls under the bracket of, what are you doing?
Yeah, it's
why
just
are you,
stupid.
Why are grown men dressed this way?
And monkeys like bananas. Right. I do too.
Right. But if I was at a bachelor party where somebody goes, here's what we're going to do, well, I'll put on monkey masks. We'll chase Ron around. He's going to wear a banana costume. I'd go, I have to go. I can't stay. There's nothing interesting in this for me at all anymore.
I believe him, except for the kids in the picture. Because, first of all, it's a bachelor party.
Meaning
so,
somebody put that picture together knowing that there were some racist undertones? Is that what you mean by that?
No, I think that it might have been just a stupid, goofy night out. And then they said, hey, kids, why don't you get in here? This will be hilarious. That's what I'm envisioning
With nobody involved thinking anything racist
about it? No, I think when they saw the little kids, they said,
then they
realized. At that point, someone knew.
Right.
If it was just a picture of them at a bar dressed like that, it's different. And they're at a bachelor party. Why do they want kids around?
I can't figure
out
any of it.
Well, they're out and about.
I know, but still.
They were doing this in a park, right, Steve?
Looks like it.
Somewhere outside in a park where all bachelor parties are held.
What else did they do? I'm just curious.
I don't want to know.
Because I know bachelor parties, people do different things. Did you play poker or something, or miniature golf or something?
We played floor hockey and miniature golf.
See, now, I think that's super fun. I know a lot of people that wouldn't do that for a bachelor party.
Right, most people.
Yeah.
Right.
So, I mean,
anyone else.
Yeah, I guess that's safe to
now,
say.
Now, half the guys who came, there were 24 guys at my bachelor party. 26 guys at my bachelor party.
All Facebook friends?
Yeah, only Facebook friends. None of my real friends were available.
MySpace friends.
Yeah, Tom from MySpace
was there.
He had a good time. He was looking over his shoulder the whole time. It was floor hockey. He wanted to see if he was getting to get checked. All right, so half the guys that came, 13 out of the 26, said, when we heard that this is what we were going to do, play floor hockey and miniature golf, we were like, huh, this is the best bachelor party ever.
I'm sure it was fun.
Yeah.
All right. I don't know. We can talk about this on the stream as well.
Yeah.
I'm going to cough.
All right. All right. Let's do this. We'll take a quick break. We'll get you some news, and there's a lot more show ahead. So stay here. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN. Wendy, look who's here.
It's noted pet expert
Steve Dale is here to tell you things about pets. Steve, I have to ask you a very fast question.
Yes, sir.
There was a story that Wendy and I talked about a couple weeks ago. This is a little boy. I can't remember if he's 3 or 4 years old. His name is Casey Hathaway.
I think he lives in North Carolina.
3 years old, right. He wanders off. He's playing in the yard, in his grandmother's yard, and he wanders off, and he's missing for 2.5 days. They can't find him anywhere.
What?
They start to panic and think, we're never going to see little Casey again.
They only start to panic after 2.5 days?
The panic started immediately, but as time went on, they got more and more scared. Then, miraculously, they found him, and he was fine despite the horrible weather, very, very cold weather, and rough terrain. He survived. And they said, how did you do this for 2.5 days? You're 3 years old. How'd you do this? And he said, I met up with a bear, and a bear took care of me. So we asked this question of John Duffy, our psychologist friend.
Yes.
Because people, when we told the story, they said, ask him if that's possible, if a little kid could have imagined this or not. And then once we talked to John about it, other people texted and said, ask Steve Dale if this is possible. So the question is, is it possible that a bear could find a three-year-old kid in the woods and protect that child for 3 days?
I enjoy John on your show. I hear him all the time. He's very, very good.
I don't know what he said. Great.
Yeah, he is. I don't know what he said about the specific issue, but I think imagination is more likely.
Yeah, me too.
A dog? Sure. Maybe a wolf. And there are stories like this. But a bear, anything's possible. I mean, animals do amazing things, but it is not so likely.
Right.
Inside Edition says bears are very nurturing animals, but they take care of their own. I'm not sure a bear would see a young child in distress as possibly something they have to take care of.
Wow.
Right. And if it's a grizzly bear, maybe lunch. Yeah.
Well,
we've been working together too long, maybe. Hey, your birthday.
Yesterday.
Yes. I've got a birthday present for you.
Oh, yay. Is it an animal? Is it a skink?
Here. No, skin.
It's a chew toy for you,
Kona.
Wendy.
Yeah. Oh, well, sort of.
What do
Here's
you mean?
Another one.
All right.
Well, they're for
Isn't
you, too.
Isn't that nice?
Yeah.
Yes, but they're dog toys. Why, when I said they're for Kona, why would they be for me?
You could use them,
because
too.
Yes, I think.
They're for dogs
That's
and
my
their owners.
Money.
Yeah.
Thank
yeah.
you so much. Kong toys, the only indestructible thing that he still destructs.
And they're not really, really indestructible.
Right.
There is nothing that is truly indestructible with certain dogs.
Sad but true. Steve, what brings you to town?
Thank you, by the way.
You're welcome. Bertrand said over 55? No way.
Me?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm 56.
No way.
Oh, and yeah. I can still kick. Yep. Ow, I broke my hip.
Careful.
I heard a crack. Lots is happening in the animal world.
Mm-hmm. The Westminster Dog Show just happened. This was big news. I kept getting 10 alerts on my phone about the winner.
Yeah, the winner, it might have been predicted because this is the 15th Wire Fox Terrier. So I was there for the first night of Westminster, and I was kind of rooting for the Beagle or the Long-Haired Dachshund. They're in the same group, so it had to be one of the two that would win that group. The Long-Haired Dachshund did win that group, but third overall. Among the seven participants in Best in Show.
The Wire Fox Terriers win a lot. They are the New England Patriots of dogs.
Yeah,
they are always
much
in the Super Bowl.
You're right.
Yeah.
Look
Bill
at them,
Belichick
Bill
coached this dog.
Oh, my computer just went out.
I think they're very...
They're homely.
No, I don't think so at all. But, you know.
Why do they have such a firm grasp on winning this big, illustrious
and in general, terriers
show?
Do. I don't know. So I get asked this question all the time. So here's something really interesting to me. The most popular breed in Chicago, the most popular breed in Chicago, but the most popular breed in America for about 22 or 23 years, Labrador Retriever. The Golden Retriever is always among the top three most popular breeds, always for like 35 years.
Yeah.
Yet neither has won at Westminster.
Hmm.
I don't know why.
No one knows why.
Nobody knows.
So I don't watch it, so you have to tell me. How are they judged? Are they judged just on talent, on poise, on looks, on aroma?
Talent competition. Swimsuits.
Swimsuit competition,
yes.
Really, yeah.
Yes. They are judged based on, every breed has a written standard.
Yeah.
And the judge judges that individual dog based on that breed standard. So when very, very beginning, King, that is the dog that won, mm-hmm. the Wire Fox Terrier, had to compete against other Wire Fox Terriers. There were probably 35 or 40 there, maybe more.
So the first round is always the same
your own,
breed.
Right. Yeah. And the judge is looking at the confirmation, what the written standard is, for the Wire Fox Terrier and says, you're the best. Then goes up against all the other members of that group. There are seven groups. Wire Fox Terrier competes in the Terrier group. Doesn't compare the Wire Fox Terrier with the Airedale Terrier or any other Terrier.
Right.
Is only looking at the breed standard of that individual breed.
Could you get in as a wild card?
Me?
Yeah. Well, not you,
no,
particularly.
A different breed.
Another breed. You know how in other sports they have the wild card teams?
They kind of do
could
that.
Could a schnauzer get in as a wild card?
Totally lost on him.
Oh, that's fine.
They kind of, well.
You know how in the NHL, you're a hockey fan.
Yes.
You know how the Blackhawks are trying to get that second wild card seed?
Oh, they
so,
will.
All right. So is there a dog version of that in the Westminster
Dog
Show?
There is a, what do you call it when you're in second place? Second place. But there's a
losing.
Runner up?
Miscongeniality.
I think, there is.
Or something like that?
Yeah.
So it's the second place winner. So should the Wire Fox Terrier not be able
to fulfill his or her duties.
Yes, which are very complicated.
Yeah.
Then the second place winner, I suppose, would have that responsibility. And that was Bono.
Bono?
Mm-hmm. A Havanese.
Oh.
That actually was in second place.
I thought he was Irish.
And it's the first time that a Havanese, which is incidentally a dog from Cuba.
Yeah.
Originally.
From Havana.
Mm-hmm.
Unana.
Bing. And you guys have been working together way too long.
Yeah.
Came in second place. That's the first time that a Havanese, I believe, has done that. And the long-haired dachshund, for those following at home, was in third place.
Third place. Mm-hmm. So everyone was happy?
I was happy.
As long
and
as you're happy.
They're not ugly. It's just not my preference.
Yeah.
And, you know, like everybody, you know, has different attraction levels.
Sure. Well, clearly, if your dog was in this event, your dog would have won Best in Show.
No, he's bad.
Does this translate into anything like in terms of dog sales? Like once a breed wins, do people go, well, that's the breed we should get then?
It used to.
Not
I don't
anymore?
Know that it does anymore. I just don't think it does so much anymore. First of all, not as many people watch Westminster. I'm just being honest. As they used
What's
to.
What's the one around Thanksgiving?
Now it's on Fox. They watch that show a
lot more.
That's
the one I
watch. This is on Fox sports channel. I think a lot of people just don't even
really?
Have that. Westminster is, yeah. The one on NBC TV, which is the National Dog Show presented by Purina.
I love that
It's on NBC TV. It's on Thanksgiving Day. It's following the Macy Thanksgiving Day Parade. So it has an enormous, ginormous, huge audience.
Yeah.
So that is maybe a bit more impactful.
Noted pet expert Steve Dale is here. If you have any questions or comments, we're at 312-981-7200. We'll pick it up right after these messages. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN. It's us. It's Bill and Wendy. Noted pet expert Steve Dale has stopped by. We're talking about pets. Pets and Valentine's Day, they go together, Steve, I'm guessing.
Oh, yes. Yeah? So I have... You're going to be so excited. I have the perfect gift. Maybe.
For any pet on your pet list?
No, not for a pet, but for a person.
Yeah.
It supports the Bronx Zoo, and Wendy and I, and you too, we talk about all sorts of animals on occasion.
Mm-hmm.
You can name a, for Valentine's Day, this is going to be so romantic, in the animal's name, a giant Madagascar hissing cockroach for your lover.
Yes, but I think it's for someone that you don't like anymore, because don't they feed that cockroach to a meerkat then?
Sometimes. But it can be...
So all your exes, you could, yes. you know, donate and name
or
it.
Or if you do this to someone you want to have soon be your ex, this might do the trick. Why are you looking at me like
I'm confused. All right, so you're naming...
A cockroach.
A cockroach after somebody you broke up with.
Or maybe.
Who broke up with you.
Or someone maybe you want to break up with.
Oh, all right.
This might do the trick.
So it's some... It's
if you got a cockroach...
Dipped in revenge,
someone,
right? It's maybe, kind of revenge-based.
Yeah,
all right.
And it raises money for the Bronx Zoo and the Wildlife Conservation Society, which
it's a
I'm
funny idea.
Wow.
Yeah.
Some people are that vindictive where they do it.
I guess. Does this happen in the past, or is this a first-time thing?
I think they've done this before.
Yeah.
And it must have been successful. People all over the world are saying, I want a cockroach in that person's name.
They gave out a statistic earlier today on Steve Cochran's show of the amount of money that people spend on their pets for Valentine's Day. I don't remember the exact number, but it was a very, very high number. I'm sure you're not surprised at all, though, are you?
No, no. And in truth, whether you're Oprah, you're not Oprah.
I'm not Oprah.
I love Oprah. But
yeah, well.
Did you come here thinking I was Oprah?
That's why I showed
Steve,
up.
I'm sorry.
I pretend you're Oprah every day because
you guys.
I want to hang out with her.
That's crazy.
I was hoping because then I'd get a car or something.
No,
you know?
I'm not Oprah.
No, darn it. But whether you are Oprah or whether you are the guy that I saw. So I just came back from New York. I was at Westminster, right? And there was this, we were staying between Times Square and Madison Square Garden.
Mm-hmm.
And in Times Square, I saw this guy, every time I walked the same way toward the garden where Westminster is, I saw this guy with a dog, the homeless guy. Mm. So whether you're that homeless guy or whether, and clearly that dog had a bond with that homeless guy. You didn't have to know them to see that. Or whether you're Oprah, all your pets care about is that you love them. They don't care how much money you have. So, yeah, you could spend money on your pet for Valentine's Day. That's fine. I have no problem with that.
Just not chocolates.
No,
right?
Not chocolates.
Do not do chocolates.
That's a bad thing.
Because dogs have allergic reactions to them.
Poisonous.
Right?
Yeah, it's toxic.
In high doses.
Yeah, and actually, yeah, right. So it depends on the kind of chocolate it is. Darker chocolates are more of an issue. It has more of a substance, a chemical called theobromine in it. So that's more of a problem. Speaking of problems... I know you guys have talked about this on the air, actually. This guy, the president of the United States, Donald Trump.
His name came up a few weeks ago.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And, you know, it's been asked a lot about why he doesn't have a dog. He's the first president in 125 years, approximately, that in the White House doesn't have a dog. And only the second president in the history of this country who is without a pet. And it all began at the very beginning, George Washington. In fact, George Washington is responsible for bringing the American foxhound to the United States.
Really?
Uh-huh. He bred dogs. He was a huge dog lover. So from George Washington on, most presidents have actually had not only a pet. They've all had a pet with the exception of one. But
Who was the one?
Because I know Clinton had Sox, right? The cat.
Yeah, and I think there was another...
But most of them have dogs.
Mm-hmm. Right. I'm looking for the one.
Who was dogless?
Yeah. President John Quincy Adams.
Oh, John Quincy Adams did not have a dog.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. He was the only one. Also, by the way, he kind of did, maybe. So whether it's an apocryphal story or not, no one's old enough to remember, apparently, and historians aren't sure. But they believe he had an alligator in the White House. Really?
John Quincy Adams?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Do you consider an alligator a pet?
Yes.
Maybe Trump,
yes,
maybe Trump would consider that alligator a coworker.
Alligator bag or shoes, maybe.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. So,
but Donald Trump's reason for not having a dog, he just said this the other
night,
was...
Right, that's why I bring it up.
He has no time.
Yeah, and he wouldn't like the optics of the president walking a dog.
Mm-hmm.
He kind of said that as well.
Great photo op, though. Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, it is. That's the thing. But he said he doesn't need that boost because... Every president who's ever gotten a dog in modern times when, you know, polling is done,
right,
has indicated just get a dog and people will like you more.
Yeah.
And in fact, that turns out to be the case. Trump said he kind of doesn't need that to be the case. History will tell us whether that's true or not. But he calls people dogs in derogative ways.
Oh.
So I just did a blog post about this. I mean, it's amazing. So when Chuck, this was a couple of years ago, he said about Chuck Todd from Meet the Press.
Yeah.
He said that Chuck Todd will be fired like a dog from ratings-starved Meet the Press. I can't imagine why it's taking so long. About Mitt Romney, he said, he had a chance to beat a failed president, but he choked like a dog. I mean, who uses that term? I mean, you call me a dog, I'm happy.
Well, that's like, hey, I mean, really? Dog, that's different. D-A-W-G.
Right. Yeah.
The Randy Jackson dog.
But right? I don't think that being called... So when, like her or not, when Omarosa was fired from the White House,
yes,
he said when you give a crazed, crying lowlife a break and give her a job at the White House, I guess it didn't work out. Good luck. Good work by General Kelly for quickly firing that dog.
No.
I mean, who says stuff like that?
Hmm. All right.
I take offense on behalf of dogs.
Would you,
really?
Would you please write a children's book about John Quincy Adams and his alligator, please?
And I think there might have been one.
Was there?
Right, actually, yes.
We don't have a lot of time, but tell us the honor that Jane Goodall received.
Oh, we're hoping she gets it, and that's the Nobel Peace Prize. So Jane Goodall, who's coming to town, and was, you know, it was announced on a Friday or something, and on...
Gorillas
have you met her?
Mist.
Do you know her?
I've met her.
Have you really?
She's the chimpanzee one.
Oh,
so
I'm sorry.
Diane Fossey, who's
that's right.
Yeah, I mean, I've never met anyone. So you get asked this all the time. Who is, because you've talked to far more celebrities than I have.
Yeah.
But back in the day when I did celebrity interviews. But even now I get asked, you know, who's the person that you spoke to that has had the most impact or influence on you?
Yes.
My answer is Jane Goodall.
Really?
Yeah.
Good call.
She is, yes, she's a primatologist, but she has taught the world, if we listen anyway, a lot more than about chimpanzees.
Yeah.
And about the chimpanzees' relation to us and all that science stuff about great apes. That's really important. But she's also talking about the planet. And she was talking about climate change for a very, very long time and many other things as well. And she also talks about how interconnected we are. So if one species goes away, then another will, and another will, and another will. And at some point, all of that will impact all of us. She also talks about this thing called kindness.
Yes.
And being kind to one another. So
yes.
I hope she gets the Nobel Peace Prize.
That would be nice. That is noted pet expert Steve Dale. You
Where?
Can listen to his show. You're right there, Steve.
Oh, thank
Steve
you.
Dale's Pet World. That's on Sundays right here on WGN. It starts at 6:30. The puck drops at 6:30, and you can listen until 7, and that's
Score.
When it stops.
I listen almost every week. You do a
thank
great
you.
Job. And
thank
where's
you.
Your website where people can find more information?
SteveDale.tv. And this week, we're talking cat shows.
Thank you, Steve. We'll listen anyway.
Coming up, the
Stop!
Stories that matter with
Stop!
Steve Bertrand from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom.
Steve, thanks so much. It's Bill F. It's Wendy Snyder. And our guest is Dane Neal. He's the host of On the Road with Dane Neal. And to prove that he lives up to his name, he is currently on the road. Dane, where are you?
I'm walking the walk, Bill. I'm walking the walk here at the World Center of Racing, Daytona International Speedway, in advance of the Great American Race, the Daytona 500 coming up.
And when is that coming up?
It's going to be Sunday. So Sunday, I think, 2:30. And I think it's going to be on Fox for all you people that want to get out there and watch. But there's a lot of cool stuff happening before that. And And on Saturday, we'll certainly have a bunch of stuff previewing it, some of the great drivers, and a lot of cool storylines leading up to the race.
Is it?
But I know. Oh, go on.
No, I was just going to ask you if it's pit row or pit road. Because I know, ooh, I hear people say both things, and that is the area, what is that even?
Well, okay, so, you know, when your team has to come in and get more gas or more tires or do some things like that, you'll head to pit road, and that's where all the pit stalls are and the pit boxes, and that's where each team has kind of a little home base, so they can come in and get gas and do everything that they need to. And that road would be pit road, and then pit row, I guess you could say that's pit road, too, is where all the different teams are located, and then the road in front of it that you travel to get there.
All right, so it's both.
It could be both,
yeah.
I guess. Yeah?
Yeah, and who's
the favorite to win on Sunday?
You know what, it's hard to say because people can come sort of out of nowhere. I would say, you know, if I had to pick one, it'll be, you know, you're looking at maybe as, you know, like Kurt Busch could do it with the new teams, with the Chip Ganassi team now driving the number one car. That's kind of a, no pun intended, chip on his shoulder after leaving Stuart Haas, right? He's won it 2 years ago. I was actually here when he did that. So I would put him as one of those potential favorites. And Bubba Wallace is a guy, too. This is the driver came in driving for Richard Petty that ended up getting second in his rookie season. And this would be a great place for him to get out there and kind of finish the deal. But I know that, you know, for there's a lot of race fans that love, you know, the action's going to happen on the track because this is the time of love, the time period of love where love's all around us.
I knew you'd get romantic on us. You'd get so romantic. I just have to ask you, like, as you look at the year of auto racing, would you put the Daytona 500 maybe just behind the Indy 500? Is that where it ranks or not?
Wow. You know, Bill, it's one of those, that's an excellent question. It's one of those kind of bucket list events that even if you are not a big motorsports fan, people still want to make it down there, just like, you know, the Kentucky Derby or like you said, the Indianapolis 500. Certainly it's the crown jewel. Some of the people in the sport say it's the Super Bowl of NASCAR, which is stock car racing. Some people kind of buck at that too. Gerald Waltrip, you know, a guy that we both know and love, said that he doesn't like to call it that because it implies that everything's downhill from there, and it's certainly not. But it is one of those transcendent events, and you look at, let's say, the Super Bowl, Kentucky Derby, things like that, where people have no business in and around the sport, you'll find them there. Mm-hmm. So you'll see here for coming up on Sunday in the drivers' meeting, you'll see, you know, politicians, you'll see Olympians, you'll see NFL players. The last time that I was here 2 years ago in the drivers' meeting, I came with Guy, you know, our friend Guy Fieri from sure. He was there along with like Keanu Reeves and Owen Wilson and Brandon Marshall, who was, I think, with the Jets at the time. And so it's kind of a big blend of people. You never know who you'll run into.
A NASCAR fan doesn't look like a NASCAR fan anymore. My husband really kind of is, he's pretty into it. Mm. But looking at him, you would say, mm-hmm. Hey, where's Zeppelin playing tonight, mm-hmm. You know? And the fans have changed big time. The term NASCAR dad, I don't think applies anymore.
Oh, is that true, Dane?
I don't know. I mean, I think that they're trying to and maybe succeeding in a certain amount of areas to be more things to more people. You know, trying to be relevant to more people, certainly as the, you know, you've got a television package that extends nationally. You've got drivers. They've got the Drive for Diversity, which is a program to try to bring in just drivers from different kind of backgrounds, whether it's ethnic backgrounds or even just regional backgrounds, you know, so everybody isn't necessarily from the Southeast. And you see drivers now who kind of represent that, you know, California, East Coast. Joey Logano, who is the defending Monster Energy Cup Series guy, is an East Coast guy. And you see, like, Kevin Harvick's from Bakersfield, California. And so not everybody is from North Carolina, you know, or Daytona or lower, like it used to be. So, yeah, I think I agree. I think they still want to keep that core of fans, but also kind of branch out and appeal to more people,
sure.
too. It's a tough marketplace out there.
Yeah. Well, promise me, Dane, on Sunday you'll put on plenty of sunscreen and plenty of Valvoline. Promise me.
Well, I will, but I'll be in... I'll be back in the Chicagoland area.
Still, even
show on Saturday.
Even if you're watching it on
general,
TV.
You never want melanoma to win the race.
Never,
that's right.
Never.
Mel who?
He drives for Ray Hall.
Yes,
all right, let's take a break, and then Dane Neal is live with us at the scene of the Daytona 500, and he'll talk about special foods for Valentine's Day. That's coming up next. It's Bill Leff, it's Wendy Snyder, and it's WGN.
chatting with Dane Neal, and a big day tomorrow, Valentine's Day.
Oh, when you say it that way. Wow. So are there foods, Dane, that we should focus on, foods that will get you in what Wendy likes to call the mood?
Yes, she does. She's always saying that.
Yeah.
The, you know, here's the thing. You know, as a parent, we don't always have as much time to, you know, kind of plan out those romantic moments, but you still want to pay homage to Valentine's Day and make sure that you notice it and tell your special someone that you care about them and all that. And,
sure.
You know, if you want to get down to, you know, some of the restaurants, obviously Gejas, you know, you can do fondue or GT Fish and Oyster Spiaggia. And I think one of the common themes is that the most romantic cuisines, whether you have them out or that you have them at home, people are kind of gravitating away from American food, not burger and fries, and more towards French cuisine, Spanish cuisine, Italian cuisine, you know.
Lean
and,
cuisine.
Lean cuisine. But part of it is, I think, the ambiance. Is that, and I don't know if I read somewhere that, you know, 90% of the dining experience has to do with, you know, what's going on in the atmosphere around it. I don't know that statistic could be possible. So some people here at the start-finish line at Daytona might enjoy the ambiance of an air dryer, a track dryer going by, or some might enjoy like a flamenco guitar,
yeah,
and things like that. So I think you have to do, and this is another thing Wendy says all the time, set the mood.
Yes. Yep.
You guys, please.
We're burning all your secrets.
Yeah.
We're throwing away all your secrets. All right. So like for a couple, like my wife and I, we eat out quite a bit. And yes, we have found that Valentine's Day is it's a difficult night because it's hard getting a table in your better restaurants. It's a little more crowded. Everyone's a little more harried because of what's going on. What do you suggest?
Well, I suggest kind of creating that place at home. You know, either make some things that are fun, that you guys are fun or think are fun, or get to eat together, like I mentioned with the fondue, or maybe some small plates that you can, maybe pizza, right, that you mm-hmm. can sort of eat it together. And you're thinking, well, you know, our home, it's the place we live all the time. How can we make it kind of a separate romantic environment? Well, I saw here some people are doing this where they set up, they put a tent on the inside. Let's say you've got a fireplace or a wood-burning stove or maybe a kerosene heater. Mm-hmm. No, I'm kidding. Don't do that. you can set a tent there, place some pictures, you know, from the good times of you and your loved one, you know, out doing, you know, sharing an ice cream cone or riding a, you know, a tandem bicycle or something like that, and then have your own little kind of place with a candle or something in a tent in the house while you're having sort of like a picnic style, you know, a blanket on the floor kind of thing. I know it sounds hard, but it looked really great from the pictures. I'll send those to you as well. And then
yeah, never mind. I mean, you know, if the kids are out, that's one thing, but, you
yeah.
know.
Yeah.
If this tent's a rockin', you know, go to the neighbor's house, kids.
Wow.
That's right. Wow. I hope it's
Dane,
in good.
Have you ever done that? I've heard about this, and I always think this is a really good idea, but I've never tried this before. Apparently, you can hire a chef to come to your house and do a complete meal right there in your house. Have you ever tried that?
I've set a lot of those things up for charity.
Oh, have you?
I've never
yeah.
had someone come do that for me, but that is something that is, you can Google some of the different services that have it. I think there might be, I don't want to say it and not be right, but yes, there are a bunch of different services out there where almost like getting a Lyft driver, an Uber driver, or whatever, is you can find a chef that pairs with what it is that you want to eat
yeah.
that will come in, and the prices obviously vary. You know, if you want the chef from White Castle to come bring your Castle Crave case in, it may be a little more reasonable. But, yeah, you can definitely do that. It isn't the kind of thing that is just reserved for, you know, a big celebrity like Elvis or Engelbert Humperdinck. People are doing that all the time. And a lot of chefs, you know, they love it because it's an opportunity for them to get out.
Yeah.
It's pretty easy lifting. You know, you're not doing somebody's wedding. It's just, you know.
That's a great idea,
maybe.
Bill.
It sounds like a good idea. But I'm curious, like, if you were to do something like that, you would also have to have the food prepared already to some extent. You'd have to go out and buy the food.
No, they'd probably
bring it and just use your facilities.
Yep.
Oh.
Here's the things that you can do. This is really great. Is you can, everything from kind of vetting like you would your babysitter on some of those sites that would come over, is you can find the person that kind of fits with you or that you like the way that they cook or their styles or what they're great at. You'd fill out a thing. Oftentimes, let's say if there's some kind of dietary restrictions, you're allergic to this, you don't like that.
Yeah.
So you kind of get on the same page with things. You don't want to overthink it. You want to allow kind of that private chef to add their expertise, their flair, maybe a little opulence in, you don't want it all planned out, you know, like a birthday party
of
for
course.
A kid.
Right.
And so they'll come in and surprise you and wow you, and there is no substitute. It's one thing, you know, we all think we're great cooks at home and, you know, grilling, and we can do certain things. But to have a real, you know, professional chef come in to your own place and kind of, you know, do what it is that they do and then be able to spend that time with you because it's a very small kind of an intimate thing, it is really awesome. And it isn't that expensive. You can get it, you know, $500, maybe something, maybe even less, depending on what it is that you're doing.
Yeah. But I'm thinking if it's a chef that is pretty well known and successful,
you're
he
not
or
gonna
she's
get
probably
them.
Working on Valentine's night, right?
You're not going to get a celebrity chef.
No?
You're going to get, like, you know, somebody from...
Well,
go ahead.
Anything is negotiable, but yeah, Wendy, you're right. The price would go up. If you want Emeril Lagasse to come and say bam in your own kitchen, I'm guessing it's probably
you'd pay for
pricey.
That. All right.
Yes.
All right.
And I forgot every Valentine's Day, I've got to remember this for tomorrow, we make heart-shaped pizzas at home. Mm-hmm. You just get pre-made dough at Trader Joe's or wherever you shop and mm-hmm. some pizza sauce, and then everybody gets to make their own heart-shaped pizza, and then you put on it what you want. Mm-hmm. So my kids love it, and we like it too. So that's happening tomorrow at our house.
Could I hire you, Wendy, to come to my house and make those for us?
Yes.
All right. For under $500?
Yes.
Yeah, all right.
$4.99.
I'm in. Done deal.
Now, do you guys feel about, as far as like incorporating the family? Because, you know, we all say, you know, happy Valentine's Day, and we get Valentine's, and the kids make us stuff. But it isn't really, you know, obviously there was some romance involved at some point, right, just leading to the situation. But do you feel it's okay to, like, include... you know, the kids in it, or do you think it should be sort of a separate thing just with the couple?
When do you take this
My
one? What do you
feeling
think?
Is if your kids live at home, I think you include
part of
them.
It? Yeah.
If, you know, you're empty nesters, by all means, wow. That's what I'm saying. I am not an empty nester at this point. I don't think I'll ever be one.
Dane, we've done both. There have been years that my daughters are with us. There have been years where it's just been the two of us. And either way is good as far as I'm concerned.
I think the most important part is you set a little bit of time aside. If you are going to do it at home, you can control that ambiance a little bit. Put a dimmer switch on the light. Put on the Barry White,
right,
or whatever, or
and then pitch a tent.
If you're here.
Yes,
right, it's your tent. And like Wendy said, if the tent's rocking, don't
bother
don't mess
knocking.
With that flap.
Right. Yeah. Oh yeah. Right.
All right, so you'll be home in time for Valentine's Day, won't you, or will you still be on the road?
I'll be on the road, so we're going to do like a Skype Valentine situation, or maybe just it'll be Valentine's observed, and there's nothing wrong with that. But I'll be getting back, I think, Friday night, and then we'll be in studio Saturday, and we're going to talk a little bit of food and some Valentine's for sure, and then a heaping helping of kind of race preview stuff.
Any big guests from the Daytona 500 on with you on Saturday?
Well, we should have Kevin Harvick. We should have him on. Martin Truex Jr. should be on with us. You know, Bill, I know that you're an avid listener of the
yes.
program, so
yes.
there's big guests every week.
Always.
So it's hard to top the top, but it'll be great. And there's some cool stuff coming up, maybe a couple surprises.
Excellent.
I love surprises.
We'll be listening, Dane, from inside the Penske car on Saturday.
Nice. Good one,
Dane Neal's show, On the Road with Dane Neal, will be heard this Saturday from 2 to 4 p.m. right here on WGN Radio. Dane, have a good time out there. Thanks for joining us.
All right. Thanks, guys. Talk to you soon.
All Safe right. travels.
We'll take a little bit of a break. We'll get you some news, and then there's more show ahead. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN.
White Sox! White Sox! Go, go, White Sox!
Let's go, 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 White Sox! I don't know the rest of the words.
You came out of the box swinging. That was great.
I know.
That was so great. Mark Harmon joins us right now by way of the telephone. He is at White Sox Park for something very cool that they're doing today. Hi, Mark. How are you?
Hey, Bill. Happy birthday, Wendy.
Thank
beautiful
you.
Beautiful out here. You guys should be here.
Yep.
You are live in action at Guaranteed Rate Field. And what's happening? Why are you there? Who's there with you? What's going on?
So, I mean, we got Team WGN out here. Adam Hogue and I are both doing our best to try out for the team.
Mm-hmm.
This is the speed pitch contest. And, yeah, so sort of like everybody's trying to be as good as Cody Parkey. We're trying to be, you know, as good as Mark Burley maybe in his prime.
Yeah, good luck with
and,
that.
Yeah, that's not going to happen, obviously. But it's a pitch contest. 100 people are out here. And the person who throws the fastest pitch They're going to spring training, two tickets, airfare, hotel, and get to see the White Sox. How cool is that?
Pretty cool.
And then the runners-up, Mark, also get a nice prize, right? Numbers 2 through 10 get something nice as well, right?
Yeah, that's everybody, I think, is going to get to come out to a game, free tickets, that type of deal. So everyone who's making the effort today, and let me tell you, it's a bit of an effort, is going to be rewarded. It's cold out here, guys. I'm not going to lie to you.
No, that's all right. How were these 100 people chosen? Was it just for the first 100 in line or what?
I think they went to Rico Benny's, and then they went to, you know, they just toured the neighborhood. No, it's an email contest, Bill. I think the first 100 that emailed in, and it took all of about 20 minutes, were the ones that, the lucky ones that are getting to come out here today and live their dream. Get to pitch in the bullpen. I mean, this is, you know, this is what I've been waiting for really my whole life.
Sure.
Yep. Did you do it? Did you take the mound? Have you done it just for fun? Did you get it over the plate?
I did do it. I did throw one into the bleacher section, which was above the backstop here. That wasn't very good.
But
I rushed
outside
up there at like 48 miles an hour, Wendy.
How fast?
48 miles an hour. Now,
wow.
Most major league pitchers pitch in the mid-90 range, some a little bit faster. But for somebody who's not a major league baseball player, if you're thrown in the high 40s or low 50s, that's not bad.
Not good.
It's not good, but it's not bad.
I'm proud of you. Did Adam Hoge throw one too, or pitch one?
Yeah, I can let you talk to him too. I think he hit 52. I believe Mary Sandberg hit 50.
Wow,
awesome.
That's great.
Yeah. So I embarrassed myself, but there's always tomorrow. Rome wasn't built in a day, right?
No, it took a long time to build Rome. Is it the same distance as a major league pitcher would be throwing in a game, or do they shorten it up a little bit for this?
Well, I think to protect the field here for Roger Bossert and company, we're doing kind of the reverse. We're throwing from where the catcher actually is. So I think we actually might be throwing a foot or two farther, which is further out. Still?
Yes.
So I think that, you know, instead of the 60 feet 6 inches, this could actually be like 61 feet 8 inches. And I'd like to, I actually officially like to file a protest on that.
Sure. Well, that's gonna slow you down a bit, let's be honest.
And people can't just show up to do this. You had to prearrange this and send an email, and the first 100 got to go out there, correct?
Exactly. Don't come to Guaranteed Right Field right now and just think you can walk in. That's they will say hi to you, and then they'll send you away. So don't do that.
All right. That's fair warning. And the other big White Sox news going on is, I believe, regular season tickets went on sale earlier
10
today.
10 a.m.
Yeah?
Yeah, and a week from Saturday, first spring training game on WGN, White Sox and the Dodgers, 2 o'clock. Be there. Come on now.
Mark, as you said that, snow out the window started to melt. As you were saying that, the snow knew summer's coming. I got to give up.
We're almost there. Bottom line, we've battled, we've given it our all, as we do every winter, and then we get the reward, and spring is here, baseball's coming, you can taste it out here. It's,
yep.
It's at least 10 degrees.
I can imagine.
Home opener is April 3rd. Hopefully it's going to be 50 degrees or up. Should we do an over-under on that?
Go on, Mark. What do you think?
Let's go global warming and take the over.
Yeah. I think it's going to be a little bit cooler than that, but, anything can happen. Anything can happen. I know you're tired of answering this question, but Manny Machado is still unsigned. Any chance?
I'd actually like to defer to Wendy on this because, if somebody's delaying this long, would you still want him? I mean, come on, man. Make a decision, right? But, no, if he decides to come here, that'd be great. But, I don't know.
They signed all, like, his friends, his brother-in-law, his aunt.
His next-door neighbor.
Right. So, I mean, obviously, they were hoping that would persuade him. I think the fact that he hasn't made up his mind yet is he hasn't made up his mind yet, and, yeah, we still want him. Don't we?
Yeah.
Okay. I mean, your wedding advice to me was, like, get married, move along with your life. I mean, I think you'd tell Manny the same thing. If you want to be a White Sox, let's go, buddy. But he has his right to take his time. I mean, everybody else in baseball is doing the same thing. So
when does he have to make his decision by, though? That's what I'm curious. Anytime he wants?
I mean, he can, if he wants to wait till opening day, I suppose he could. But you would think that you'd want to know where you're working, get your family situated, get to know your teammates, all that. I mean, you know, pitchers and catchers are reporting today, the whole thing. So
I bet we know by the end of the day today.
Do you think today's the day? Yeah.
I have a feeling.
Oh.
Okay.
With it being good news or bad news?
That I can't tell you. I like to think he's coming and it will be announced today. That's what I'm going to go out on a limb and say that.
All right.
Well, they had the mitt yesterday, which is the colors are black and white, which, of course, fits on the south side. So maybe that's an case.
But, Mark, are you still there?
No, Manny Machado disrupted his system.
Isn't there have been times where a ball player will hold out. I think this happened with Jermaine Dye when he was a free agent. They hold out a little bit, and then after a while, Major League Baseball goes, "Nah, that's okay, we're okay without you." That couldn't happen with a guy like Manny Machado, though. He's too valuable, right?
That's not going to happen, Bill, but these guys might, you know, they wanted these 10-year deals. There's the theory that might sign for less years and more money and, you know, revisit free agency when the new collective bargaining agreement will be there in 2022.
Yeah.
So that's I suppose in play. I still think he'll sign a 7 or 8 year deal with someone, but you know, those are all conversations I'm sure they're having.
All right. We only have 40 seconds, so put Adam Hogue on.
Hang on. All right. Let me walk through the crowd here.
All right.
Mark Carmen is live at Guaranteed Rate Field right now.
Hey guys.
Hey Adam. All right, so the first 100 people that emailed the Chicago White Sox are competing in this contest right now. The first place winner gets what?
A trip to spring training.
Oh, that's pretty cool.
The grand prize. And more importantly, though, did Carm tell you guys all about how I threw faster than he did?
Honestly, yes, he did.
He did. He mentioned that.
And Mary Sandberg Boyle was up there, too. She did a good job. Nine runners up will each get a pair of tickets to the home opener April 3rd, and the other 90 participants will get 2 ticket vouchers to select home games.
That's
so everybody
nice.
Walks away a winner. So what was your speed, Adam?
What's that? You guys are cutting out just a little bit, guys.
How fast the contest is
underway here.
Oh, it is. They started?
They have started. I think we had the highest pitch so far is 69 miles per hour, which is pretty good.
That's very good.
It's hard to warm up out here. It's pretty cold. It's windy, and that's impressive. For pretty much these guys are walking up there without warming up to throw 69. I was impressed.
And what did you throw?
I got it up to 53, I think, was my highest.
It's not terrible.
Every time I get asked that, it goes up 1 mile an hour.
Oh. Like the fish got 1 inch longer.
Yeah. Right, that happens.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. Adam, we have to go, but we hope you have a good time out there at White Sox Park. And as we mentioned earlier, regular season tickets went on sale earlier today. They're now very purchasable. Thanks, Adam.
All right, thanks, guys.
Take care.
Thank you so much. If you want to know where to get your tickets, I have that information.
You think the orthopedic surgeons are lined up outside of the stadium waiting for all these guys?
There may be a mishap or two, Ryan. Yes.
Exactly.
You can go to whitesox.com or call 866-SOX-GAME because individual game tickets went on sale. I just want to tell you both that anyone who throws a 93 miles per hour or higher gets a bonus prize.
Boy, I don't know.
Someone's going to do it. There are going to be some high school players. I think there are some high school or college players that are going to get involved.
Wow. High school players are in school right now.
Boy, that's
not today. They're not.
That's a fast pitch on a cold day. 93. Does it say what the bonus prize is?
No.
No.
Free Tommy John surgery.
I like that one.
All right, let's do this. We'll take a quick break. We'll come back for more of us, Bill and Wendy on WGN.
All right, we were talking about Valentine's Day because it's tomorrow. I completely forgot about the heart-shaped pizzas that we do every year.
That's your tradition, huh?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Wow. I almost broke the tradition. So a study was done, YouGov Omnibus.
Sure.
Never heard of them, but they've put together...
I breathe them.
You do. Good for you. This is what men and women really want for Valentine's Day. I know you said flowers. I mentioned yesterday I'm not a flower girl because it's more work.
Right.
Nearly a quarter of Americans say they would like to receive a card for Valentine's Day, 23%, while 22% would welcome chocolates. Who would not welcome chocolates unless you're allergic to it?
Right. You would think that chocolates are a pretty safe bet, and flowers seem to be. I think not to stereotype, but I think most women want some flowers. Guys, I can't, I don't
know. That's number three.
For guys?
No, yeah. Flowers is number three overall, for a woman.
For women, yeah.
These are the gifts people would like to receive for Valentine's Day. 31% of women want a card. That's the top one.
I got that from my wife, covered. We did, for people who weren't listening at the beginning of the show, I got my wife's Valentine's Day gifts, the flowers and the card, with a very nice message inside, by the way. Very nice. Very heartfelt.
You hand-wrote it?
I not only hand-wrote it, but it's, you know, it's meaningful to our lives, you know. You can't just get a card and
Why
just sign
you
your name at the bottom.
About being romantic?
I'm just saying, you can't just take the card and sign your name.
Love, Bill.
Yeah. What
well,
is that?
Of course not.
You gotta put something that means something.
Do you think we're all stupid?
But I know people sometimes do that. There are people who just go, yeah, I got her a card, I signed my name, that's all you need to do. No. You want a nice personalized note. I gave that to my wife yesterday because she's leaving town early Friday morning, and I wanted to give her a couple days to not only enjoy the flowers, but think about the message inside the card.
So I could borrow it then.
Yeah,
she doesn't need it anymore.
No, it's right, done. Yeah, I'll bring it in tomorrow.
I'll give it back to you on Friday.
All right,
your
that's
name
fine.
Is not Bill.
No, but it's I have invisible ink. I just cross it out. It's easy. It's easy.
Although that would be funny, Ryan, for you to give to your wife, and it would cross out Bill and write
right,
Ryan.
Right.
I'd like that. 15% of men like a card.
A card's okay.
Yeah.
Card's fine.
They burn pretty good in the fireplace.
Right.
Chocolates and candy is the number two answer. 28% of women, 16% of men would like chocolates or candy for Valentine's Day.
I've been trying to push the Valentine's pineapple because they're on sale at Aldi.
I love
it's
pineapple.
So tropical.
Would you core it for her?
Oh, yeah.
Because then it's worth it.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Any candy, not just, they're saying chocolate.
Chocolates comes first, but any kind
but
of candy,
yeah.
In general.
Right. Here's a box of Nerds. Happy Valentine's Day.
That would work for you. No one else.
I would be okay with that.
I know
that.
You would.
I like those.
The third most popular gift for Valentine's Day of what men and women would like to receive, flowers. I'm surprised that's the third one, but 27% of women want flowers. 5% of men would like them.
I'm surprised it's that high. That means 1 in 20 guys is hoping sometime tomorrow they get flowers. I don't know. It's fine. That's what I would say when I got them, too. Oh, that's fine.
Thank you.
Thank you for these.
Then you got to do something with the flower, right? It's like, where do I put it? Do I put it next to the heater? Well, then it's going to die. Oh, wait, it's dead anyway.
It's going to die. Yeah.
That's how I feel about flowers.
It's a gift that is going to be dead in a couple of days.
In fact, that's what Jim heard me say on the air yesterday, so I didn't get birthday flowers, but that's 100% fine.
Yeah.
Number four, top four, jewelry would be next in line. 18% of women want jewelry. That seems low.
Yeah.
And 4% of men.
That is low. I think they're being realistic.
But you know what? I'd rather save up for a special occasion like an anniversary because, I'm sorry, I don't like a heart shape. I just don't.
Mm-hmm.
So I wouldn't wear it. So I just feel bad for men wasting their money on a heart-shaped pendant or something like that.
Sure.
I can't speak for all women, but I would not love that.
But if it was,
save it up and get me a big old diamond.
Jewelry that was not heart shaped. I know because it's Valentine's Day, you feel the pressure.
Yeah, but
of making
don't
it.
Exactly. So don't feel the pressure to do that. Just get something that's not heart shaped.
Right.
No heart shaped lottery tickets.
That would be okay. Yeah. That'd be a good gift. I'm going to get that for Jim tomorrow.
What about a mood ring?
Number five is a certificate for a massage or spa. 14% of women would like that. 4% of men. How about a couple's?
Oh, that wouldn't be
that would
horrible.
Be a good
that's
all
right.
A gift recommendation I
that's solid.
Might buy into.
Yeah?
A keepsake gift.
What is that? Like a precious moments figure?
It could be. It could be.
What are they saying is a keepsake gift?
I don't know.
Something probably special that's like either has sentimental value with a picture in it or
maybe
some kind of jewelry with an inscription inside.
Right.
I wouldn't want that.
Or the pineapple that Ryan mentioned earlier.
Pineapple with
the
your name
pineapple.
On it. We could cut the pineapple.
You could brand
into, like,
it. Take a branding iron.
Put the person's name on it.
Yeah.
That's
13% of women would like a keepsake gift. 6% of men. Mm-hmm. I'll get you some cufflinks.
Oh, wouldn't that be nice? My initials on one side, her initials on the other. That's perfect.
Books. 11% of women would like books. 6% of men.
It's not romantic.
What book do you get?
Is that I don't know.
What if you get a love book?
Oh, a Harlequin romance. That would be great.
Would you like that?
Yes.
All right.
A series of them.
Breakfast in bed, only 11% of women and 7% of men, although they're getting closer. You wouldn't want breakfast in bed?
No, that's a mess. That's, you're going to get English muffin all over your bed. You don't want that, do you?
But you're not English.
Actually, the English muffins that Terry has been purchasing for us are from Whole Foods, and they say British muffins instead of English muffins. And that's a new concept for me. I mean, I know it's the same. I get it's totally the same. It's just strange
it's
to look at a box of English muffins.
Big uproar since Brexit.
Yes. Been really everything's changed that. Since Brexit.
Yeah.
We'll just finish out this list here. These are what men and women want for Valentine's Day. Clothing or lingerie, 9% of women, 5% of men. I think those statistics are way too high.
What are the percentages they claim?
9% of women want clothing or lingerie. I'm telling you.
It's got to be higher than that.
No, lower? We don't want that.
No?
We'll buy our own.
All right.
You guys get stuff that's not very comfortable.
You won't have the Batgirl logo on it, I bet.
Homemade would be rounding the next one, and wine or liquor, I think that would be more towards the top, but that's
something
just me.
Something homemade is intriguing.
Macaroni necklace.
Yeah, you can't go wrong with a macaroni necklace. Coming up, the stories that matter with Ryan Burrow. You just heard Ryan a little while ago mention the macaroni necklace.
Macaroni necklace, got, pineapple, yeah. And Bill's card.
Oh,
my
man.
Valentine's Day is set.
Your wife is in
You're
bad
done
shape.
For the year. Those stories from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom next on WGN Radio.